In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Fatima.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint James.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I've been thinking about Father Mamma Mia's homily this translated in Spanish, that would be Ecole, right? When I arrived at California many years ago, I myself gave myself the nickname. And my nickname I chose was Escobita. Escobita, the reason being is because my last name is Broom. By the way, it's a very biblical name. You can find that in the book of Kings with Elijah, right? So I thought I would present myself as Escobita. You know why? Because I have the same name as my father. But I also have the same name as my grandfather. So my grandfather's Escobón. My father's Escobón. I'm Escobita, which means little broom. So clean sweep with broom, huh? I think that's a good idea. Ask yourself, what do you think Jesus would call you? What would be your nickname? You might even pray over that during the course of the retreat. And see if you can live up to it, because he's probably going to give you a name that you're going to challenge to live out in striving for holiness. All right, a few suggestions before we get into our topic. I have the Ignatian text before me. It's the modern version of Father Louis Poole. And those who are interested in Ignatian exercise, you should have the text, even though it's basically for the directors. But it's a good idea to have the text. You have what are called annotations, which are basically given to the director. Now, annotation number 5, I'd like to summarize that for you right now. Annotation number 5. And it's the attitude that you should have in these exercises. For example, sometimes parents will ask me, should I make my son or daughter do the exercises? No, it's not going to work. No. No. The exercises don't work if you're being forced to do them. You have to want to do them. So annotation number 5 is, here's a big college word for you, okay? It's a compound Greek word. Magnanimity. Wow, put that feather in your cap, huh? Magnanimity. It's a compound Greek word. Magna anima. What does magna mean? Great. How about anima? Great solidness would be the literal translation. Put in nickel and dime American English, be generous, okay? You want to impress people at a cocktail party, say, I feel magnanimous today. Are you you experience pusillanimity, which would be these opposites. So we want to enter in these exercises with magnanimity, with a generous soul. So if up to this point you've been dragging your feet, let's try not to drag the feet, because you're going to notice these exercises are going to go by very quickly. Before you know it, you're going to be packing your bag. So let's try to be generous in the limited time we have at our disposition. Okay, next point I'd make is this. Of all retreats, this is a retreat in which you're probably being spoiled and pampered most in any retreat you're going to be given. You got the sisters praying for you. You got great meals. You got the eloquent Fulton Sheen speaking to you. You got three retreat preachers giving you talks. You got a team of spiritual directors. What more do you want? Huh? Down the street, you got the Adoration Chapel. So you're really being spoiled. So you should say, you should say thank you to God that you've been given so many graces. Lord, everything that we've done in this retreat has not been done by chance. We organized these retreats way beforehand. So we purposely have given each and every one of you a spiritual director. Okay, you have a spiritual director? Okay, you got to be transparent. You hear me? If not, there's no purpose. No purpose having a spiritual director if you're not transparent with your director. The director is not a Christmas ornament, or rather, for you to understand how God's speaking to you, you have to have a director. You hear me? I'm directing a few people. We've got a good team of well experienced director, another priest, a brother, and people that have gone through a 3-year process of formation. So all these people are trained spiritual directors. Then also Father Victor is confessing. I'll confess from 4 to 5. So we're going to give you 2 different blocks of times which you can go to confession. So you have it basically made in the shade if you can try to be magnanimous. So as a help for this spiritual direction, as I said yesterday, when you finish your meditation, write down how God spoke to you. So you go into spiritual direction, and most of you are not new, most of you are pretty well experienced. You don't go in there with your spiritual direction, you go like this. What's this? Rather, you should know what you're doing, okay? You should know what you're doing. So go in there, take the bull by the horns, and say the prayer with your director, and then go through how God has been speaking to you. Okay, there's so much to be said, but also another part of spiritual direction is you talk about the consolation and desolation you've had in the past 24 hours. You hear me? That's part of the Ignatian dynamic. You talk about, you might say, okay, yesterday the first half of the day I was in a wave of consolation, then I had a snag, and then 6 hours I was in desolation. And after the evening talk and the prayers, I returned to consolation. It's very important that you be aware of that. Very important. And to be able to express that to your director, that's huge. So this is an Ignatian retreat. It's not an Augustinian retreat. This is an Ignatian retreat. Part of it is the interplay of consolation, desolation, and knowing where it comes from, how to react to it, what to do and what not to do. And how often it's happened to me, speaking to my spiritual director, I start with desolation. After the half hour conversation, I'm in consolation. It almost always happens that way. Almost always. I'm in a ball of confusion. I unravel it with my director. He listens to me. He summarizes what I've said. He gives me one or two points, and man, I'm on cloud nine. No, it works. But if you keep it yourself, the devil turns a molehill into a mountain. Something. For example, I'll tell you. I was in desolation yesterday for about 2 hours because with Father Victor and Brother J.R., I made a mistake on writing out the scheme, and I said, oh no. And then I was in like desolation for 2 hours. And I was able to kind of work it out and express what to do. But I was in desolation. And the devil was working on that. The devil was saying, just go home now. You know, you're a failure. You know, that's the way the devil was working on me. But I was aware that was the devil. So I had to fight against it. I did the Ajade Contra. I prayed three rosaries. And after that, I was on cloud nine again. You see? So I know the rules pretty well. Probably better than your people. So knowing the rules for desolation, applying them, is huge. And we as oblates, we have probably one of the best experts in the rules for discernment, maybe in the world, Father Tim Gallagher. You've heard of him, right? Father Tim is just an expert, and he's one of the oblates. He's writing many books on this. I had him as my spiritual director when I was like Brother J.R. in Rome. So we have a lot of sources that we can delve into to help us to become holy. Amen? Last thing is this. The best thing that I can do for you is, I can give you a few ideas in my short talks, but I'm praying for you. So when Father Victor's praying the Mass, I have a Mass in the evening because I've got a mission in the other church, but I purposely wanted to pray that Mass, and I'm praying for all of you. So that's the best thing I can do for you, is offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'm sure Father Victor and Brother J.R. are praying also for you also. So, you know, to be blunt, that's the best thing I can give to you, is offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and praying three or four rosaries for you also. So I'm inundating you with prayer. So you'll probably get some consolation as a result of that. Thank you, Father. Okay. You're welcome. I thought that deserved, you know, an attitude of gratitude, right? All right. Okay, so today what I'm going to give to you is we're concluding Principle and Foundation this morning. So we're purposely giving a little bit more than a day on Principle and Foundation because it's so important. It's so important. Now, when you're doing your other exercises, have Principle and Foundation in the background always. I give my 10-week program. Every one of the 10 weeks, I mention Principle and Foundation. I'm in the 8th week in Linwood this week. I'm going to be mentioning to these people, hey, don't forget the purpose of your existence while you're here. All right. So what you've done so far is you know why you're here. Two words. You're here to praise God and to save your soul. Okay? Can't be clearer than that. You're here to praise God. How are you going to praise God? By becoming a saint. Saving your soul means you have to become a saint. Oh, Father Bruin, that sounds like a pious platitude. That's a nice cliche. It's not. You know what a pious platitude is? Kind of nice words. A cliche. No. It's an imperious command. Because Jesus said, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Oh, well, Father, that's not for me. Well, why are you here? Just eat French toast and sausage? No. No, you're here because you want to praise God and you want to save your soul. And as a result of that, we'll arrive at Call the King. You want to be instrumental in saving the souls of others too. You English majors, Leo Bloy, a great writer who lived about 100 years ago, Leo Bloy said this: the biggest tragedy in our life would be at the end of our life we don't become the saint that we're called to become. Wow, I like that. Leo Bloy. Okay? The biggest tragedy in our life is not to become the saint that God has called us to become. Now, I don't often quote this person, but sometimes I will. I will quote the devil. What did the devil say about the Curie of Ars at the end of his life? Any of you read the life of the Curie of Ars? From Trochu, he said, if there are five more of him, my kingdom would be destroyed. Wow. I have a relic, the first class relic of the Curie of Ars in my room. No? That's where the devil sometimes come to visit me. No? The Curie of Ars, no? Five of the Curie of Ars, my kingdom. Well, we're about 60 here. We're about 60 here. You should scare the pants off the devil, huh? So, we're here to become saints. We're here to glorify God. Then, the law of tantum quantum. What the heck is that, Father? You have the use of created reality. The law of tantum quantum. Use everything in as much as it leads you to your end. And use everything as a means, not as an end, as they say in philosophy, right? And you can either... I like words. I like language. Either you can use it or you can abuse it, right? Either use it or abuse it. We're called to use all of created reality as a ladder by which we can ascend on high. As a ladder in which we can ascend on high. And not as a stumbling block. Either it's a stepping stone, a ladder, or it's a stumbling block. We want to use all created reality as a ladder by which we're ascending to heaven. Now, the biblical verse that I usually give is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I mean, there's a lot of verses you can use. And it is, there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to eat, there's a time to fast, there's a time to plant, there's a time to uproot, there's a time for war, there's a time for peace, there's a time to embrace, and a time not to embrace, there's a time for everything underneath the sun. I really believe that's the best biblical verse I've ever found for the law of tantum quantum, proper use. Now in this retreat, you're going to be praying a lot to see some of the areas in which you're not using created reality the way it should be. I like to summarize this in the three T's: your time, treasures, and talents. How are you using your time? How are you using your treasures? How are you using your talents? For me, that summarizes it all. We all have 24 hours a day. You all have talents, and you people have a lot of talents, and so do I. We all have a lot of talents. Treasures, you have them also. You might not be a multimillionaire, but you've got treasures too. And you don't want to be burying them, like the talent, Matthew chapter 25, the talent you throw underneath the ground. Okay, so what I've done, I've summarized where we're at, and now I'm going to enter into your meditation for this morning. It's called Holy Indifference. Holy Indifference. If you just read indifference and you go to Webster's Dictionary, you get a common secular interpretation of indifference, what would Roger's thesaurus give you? Okay, different synonyms, no? What would it be? Probably the key one would be apathy. Okay? Apathy. The younger generation would be whatever, okay? In Spanish, que me importa, que me importa. Now really, whole indifference is really, it's the exact opposite. It's really the exact opposite. My friends, holy indifference is the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Amen? It's the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Okay, I'm going to give you a few ideas and I'll give you some biblical verses. But don't kid yourself to think after you finish this 8-day retreat, you will have mastered holy indifference to the T. Don't kid yourself. I've been explaining this for more than a quarter of a century, and I know I'm very far from it. But half the battle is I understand it. I understand holy indifference very well. I could probably write a book on it. I understand holy indifference very well. But I humbly admit, I know I'm very far from this. But I'm striving, I'm trying to live it up. So, as I said, half the battle is understanding it. Understanding it and then begging for the grace to be able to not only understand and put it into practice. You notice if you do the exercises, how often Ignatius is saying, beg for the grace, beg for the grace, beg for the grace, beg for the grace, beg for the grace. For that reason, the great Augustine says, we're all beggars before God. No? We're all the Bartimaeus of the Bible, right? We're all beggars before God. And I tell you, I love it. I love to be a beggar before the Lord. Whenever I'm driving, I see a beggar, you know, when it's coming up here, pulling on Garfield, there was a beggar. He gave him, you know, handful of coins, they gave him a dollar bill. It's not that much, but at least I was able to give him something. That beggar on the street is Father Broom before God. Amen? Yeah. I'm that beggar before the Lord. And if you are a beggar before the Lord is going to give you many graces. You know, what Father Victor said yesterday in homily on Abraham, very important. He was very humble. Sometimes we don't pray well because our pride gets in the way of us. We got to be humble. If you're humble, God comes down to you. But if you're proud and you're self-reliant, the Lord pulls back because you feel you can do it yourself. So always, always approach the Lord with a humble, broken heart. And He'll heal you and lift you up. You hear me? I really love that idea. No? You know, Abraham, I mean, it's incredible that humble, Lord, I've already asked you, but if I can presume on you again, can I? How about 40? Lord, I'm sorry. You know, how about 30? Lord, well, since I've done it so many times, Lord, once more, how about 10? What's humility? We got to be like Abraham, going before the Lord. Okay, holy indifference. As Father Victor said in St. John, there's so much to say on this, but I'll try to give you a few ideas. Okay, holy indifference is related to recognizing our attachments. Okay, you hear me? Recognizing our attachments. And I've got them, and you have them too. If you can't recognize them, give me 5 minutes alone, and I'll find them for you. For me, I'm a soul surgeon. I could, in 4.5 minutes, I would ask you five-pointed question. Oh, Father, I didn't know. Yeah, that's your attachment. But knowing, once again, this self-knowledge is key to Ignatian spirituality, is key to progress. And self-knowledge, what do the Desert Fathers say? One of their maxims, know thyself. What is Socrates? A life that's not examined is a life not worth living. What is that? English historian Toynbee, he who does not know history is condemned to repeat the same errors, right? So self-knowledge is very important in the spiritual life. So we're coming to terms in this with our attachments. Okay, when I was praying over this, this thought occurred to me that I felt God wanted me to ask you and myself. Okay, during the course of the day, maybe outside the retreat, when your plans are interrupted, do you lose your peace? Okay, pray over that. Pray over that. I think almost everyone said, yes, Father, yes, Father. Yeah. Well, maybe God intervening had another plan than yours? Whose plan is better, yours or God's? You ever see that bumper sticker, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, huh? Make God laugh, tell him your plans. And so that's one idea I throw at you right away with respect to attachment. We're all attached to our own mental schema. We are. I maybe more than you, no? But maybe God has different plans, and maybe God has better plans. Amen or oh me? Okay. All right. Holy indifference. Ignatius divides this into four categories. Four categories. Not to prefer a long life to a short life. Second category, not to prefer health to sickness. Third category, not to prefer, oh boy, the Americans love this baby, not to prefer riches to poverty. This is Ignatius. Oh boy, you ready? Not to prefer honors over humiliations. Oh, I see all you're cringing, huh? You really got ants in your pants now over that one, huh? Not to prefer, but to choose what is most conducive to the end for which you are created. Not to choose one over the other, but to choose what is most conducive for the end for which you're created, which is, round circle, the honor and glory of God and your salvation. See? Round circle. The honor and glory of God, we want to praise God, and we want our own salvation. Okay, very quickly, I'm going to give you, very quickly, the example of four saints, and then I'll give you the biblical passage. All right. Long life to short life. One of the best examples I've ever read is Saint Francisco Marto. You know, the Children of Fatima. Have you read Fatima, most of you? Saint Francisco Marto and his sister were canonized by Pope Francis in 2017. Among the youngest saints in the Catholic Church, 9 and 11, little children. Okay, once Francis was asked, What do you want to be when you get older? He said, I don't want to be anything. I want to go to heaven. Our lady said she's going to take me to heaven. I have no plans of being a lawyer, a doctor, a millionaire. I just want to die because I want to go with that beautiful lady. I love that. You might even pray to him. Don't you love those little children? Man, I, Jacinta, Francisco, I fall in love with these little children. Some of you are teachers. Well, what a beautiful example for children. Some of you have children. Some have grandchildren. He was not attached to life because he knew what was most important, going to heaven. That's principle and foundation. Okay, health to sickness. Sickness also is suffering. You might take Padre Pio. Padre Pio, even though Padre Pio lived into his 80s, he was always fragile in health. But also he had the stigmata for how long? 50 years. 50 years. Once someone asked, hey, Father, does that hurt? And he said, this is not a Christmas decoration, pal. Of course it hurts. It would bleed every Friday, and in Lent it would bleed the whole time in Lent. So he didn't complain about his sickness and suffering, but he became a victim soul. What is a victim soul? He offered his suffering to God for the conversion of sinners and reparation for sin and for the salvation of the whole world. My friends, don't waste your suffering. You hear me? Don't waste your suffering. We all suffer, and we as priests, we suffer more than you. Okay? Don't waste your suffering. Unite your suffering to the cross, and especially to the Mass. And your suffering has infinite value. I mean, we as priests, we visit hospitals and nursing homes. How much wasted suffering? Some of you are nurses. How much wasted suffering? No? Right? People don't understand that suffering is infinite if it's united to the cross. And Jesus saved us through his suffering, right? All right. So that's the third would be choosing, not to choose poverty over riches. I'll just mention three saints and expound on one. Have any of you ever heard of the American saint Catherine Drexel? Catherine Drexel today would probably be a billionaire. Okay? She'd probably be a billionaire. Off with Steve Jobs and Getty, and she's very, 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 very rich. What did she do? She gives her mothers to the Afro-Americans and the Indians. In the last 10 years of her life, she's prostrate in bed with suffering. Wow. Read her life. St. Catherine Drexel. I studied at Villanova in Philadelphia. You've got Drexel University there in Philadelphia. Okay. Another one would be St. Francis of Assisi. He would have been the CEO of Nordstrom's or Macy's today. Because he and his father sold very expensive clothes. He liked to be a dandy dresser before his conversion. Yeah. And then, probably most of you don't know too much about Charles Borromeo. Did you know that he came from the Medici family, which was the most prestigious family in the world back then? His mother was Medici. His uncle was the Pope. And what happened was his older brother died of a freak horse accident. Charles was number two. All the inheritance went to him. Guess what he did? Gave it to the poor, became a priest, a bishop, archbishop, cardinal, and one of the greatest Archbishop Cardinal in the history of the church, right during the height of the Protestant Reformation. But he was dirty rich. And how does he end his life there? Helping the people in Milan during the plague, the bubonic plague in the 1500s, and he himself dies at 46. Boy, I love Charles Borromeo, boy. Pray for bishops that they'll look at him as a model, right? As a model. And finally, not to prefer honors over humiliation, my friends, this is a tough one. Do you like to be humiliated? The other day I was driving and this, maybe I drived improperly, but this young man drove up close to me and he gave me a very ugly gesture. Very ugly. Oh. Very ugly. It's about the first time maybe I cut him off. I had to go to the cemetery and I was in a hurry. Maybe I cut him off. I didn't do it on purpose. But I found it was a major victory for me because I didn't get angry at him. And I was praying for him the rest of the day. And I prayed the chaplain of Divine Mercy. He said, Lord, I beg you when he dies that he'll be saved. And I believe the Lord's going to hear my prayer. But that was a... Man! That was a humiliation. But I forced myself to pray for this guy who really humiliated me. Maybe I cut him off. Maybe it was my fault. But wow! And that's the beauty of Ignatian spirituality. God gave me the grace and I said yes to it. And even right now, I pray that that young man, I pray he'll be saved. Because of my prayers and what I'm saying to you now. I don't want him to be lost. Maybe he had a tough day. Maybe he's an orphan. And maybe he's got a lot of sufferings. Only God knows. May God have mercy on him. Isn't that beautiful, the Ignatian exercises? Hmm? I'm not tooting my horn. I mean, other battles I lose, so that one I won. That one I won. But other times I don't win, no? All right. So, you understand principle and foundation? Okay, you're understanding it? Holy indifference? Okay. I'm going to give you what I believe to be the most demanding passage in the Bible in holy indifference. Father Victor is going to be 2 Maccabees 6 and 2 Maccabees 7. I think that's the greatest. It's Eliezer, remember Eliezer, and the mother, remember the mother with the 7 sons? Okay. Those 2 passages, I like to give them in Principle and Foundation because I think that's about the best you have there. You have Eliezer, who's an older Jewish man. They're trying to force him to eat pork. He doesn't do it. He's about 90 years old, and they torture him, and he suffers, but he believes, I have to do God's will. Then you have the mother with the 7 sons, and they're trying to force them to eat pork, and the mother encourages. Imagine that, Veronica, encouraging your children to die rather than to deny God himself, because what happened? They both understood that the salvation of the soul is more important than your body. Yeah. Yes? Your body is important. But the salvation of your soul is the most important thing in the world. If you want another passage, you can take Job chapter 1. Okay? Okay, Job chapter 1 would be another one. The whole book of Job, but Job chapter 1. So I've given you a lot. And you're not going to get through all of this in one day, but at least you're understanding holy indifference. Half the battle is understanding it. So let's end by saying someone who lived out holy indifference perfectly, and that was the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let's ask her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins. Now, glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. St. Ignatius. God bless you and have a great day.